You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
I made my first investment at the age of 11. I was wasting my life up till then. A quote by Warren Buffett prompted me to question the importance of age in investing. A few years back, younger individuals like me faced significant barriers to entering the investment world, possibly due to limited exposure, or you could say lack of awareness. Now, with the increased financial literacy, especially post-COVID, more people think about taking risk. On today's episode, we will discuss how a college student can start their investment journey with minimal money and lower risk.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Hi, I'm Radhika, senior producer at HD Smartcast. If you're wondering who this human being is, then let me tell you that I have hijacked the space for some time. Today's episode features an exceptionally compelling guest who has simplified our investing journey with her knowledge and expertise. Joining us is your favorite host, Aparajita, and together we will explore how students can embark on their investment journey and whether age truly plays a crucial role in the world of investing. Hi, Aparajita. Welcome to Why Not Mint Money.
Hi, Radhika. And it's so good to be here as a guest.
I'm excited to host you today. How does it feel to be on the other side of it?
Yeah, actually, lately I have been to the other side quite often. But for Why Not Mint Money, it's the first. So really excited about it.
I'm excited about this topic too, because this topic is very, very close to my heart. I remember how clueless I was during my college days, and just like every other kid, all my money went into shopping, ordering pizza and ordering and buying all the stupid and silliest things. It took me many, many years to actually realize and understand why investment is important. So Aparajita, you being in this space for quite some time, but I would like to know, how was your journey with money and investments, and at what age you started investing?
Okay, so I started right after completing my studies, right after I started my first job, I started investing. So I've been lucky.
How old were you, if I have to ask?
25,
okay.
Yeah, so I had part-time jobs I did have initially in the beginning of the career, but I did not invest that time. Whatever I earned, I saved. I was not a spendthrift person even in my early 20s or teenage. But I did not invest that time. I did not have that knowledge. So my money, I'll give it to my father and he will put it in the bank.
So they will be very happy that my daughter doesn't spend much.
So here that he used to be comfortable that whatever money he'll put in my bank account, he knows that it won't come from here. But my sibling, वहाँ पे उन्हें सोचना पड़ता था, because my brother used to spend.
I think I was. I was just like your sibling, your brother. I remember जब this thing happened, demonetization. Okay, so my father transferred some amount of money in my account. Okay, and I was
spent it.
I was very happy to see that chunk. Yeah. Okay. Ki itna sara. Oh my God! I've never seen this much money in my account. Fir toh there was no stopping. I just invested.
So my father gave me, so he did one of, he invested in a mutual fund way back, around 10-15 years ago he had invested there. And now he told me that this is the money, while I was getting married, he told me that this is the amount, take it and spend it on your own. No need for anything else, whatever you want to buy for yourself, do it. And me being stock market journalist, I understood the why compounding matters and how important stock market investment is and long term. I did not spend that money. I saved it, so I let it grow. So so that's there. So I'm that kind of person. I think twice whenever I have to spend a penny. So
okay, interesting actually. So today we are just talking about college students. Okay, so please tell us, what are the benefits associated with early investing for students?
Okay, so why it is important, investing, before investing, you have to understand the concept of saving. So as a college student, you are not earning. You are dependent on whatever your parents are providing you. And you may have part-time job, it's a choice. Not many people can do that. But first, you have to get into the habit of saving money. You should aim for at least saving 500,000, whatever your pocket money is. Mm. Basis that you have to save. And when you'll start saving, then you have to figure out exactly where to invest. As I said that in the beginning of my career, in my early 20s, mm-hmm. I did save, but I did not invest. So my money could not grow against inflation rate.
Okay.
But here my advice is that everyone should start with mutual funds. Okay. It's the safest bet, and you are in your early 20s. So you can take that equity market risk.
But Prajada, what about the students who are on the tight budget?
So tight budget, you will have to cut your expenses. You will have to focus on it.
Okay.
Because if you'll start earning, then also you have a budget. You have earnings coming in. You know that this is your monthly salary. And mm-hmm. against that, you have to plan your budget. Mm-hmm. Similarly, you can identify where your money is going.
Yeah.
So you will have to get into that mindset. Mm-hmm. No, I have to invest 500 rupees a week.
Okay.
So by end of week, you will have 2,000 rupees. And if you'll start saving 2,000 every month, if you put 2,000 rupees every month in a mutual fund, then you will realize after a year that just how much money you have accumulated. I must explain that the people that I speak to, people in their early 20s, I have seen them living on, I should say, EMIs.
Yeah.
If they have to buy a new phone, then they won't bother buying it. Buy now, pay later, or maybe borrowing money from parents,
credit card.
Mm. So there are different ways, and now a lot of companies are marketing it that way.
Mm.
So spending on loan has become quite common.
Okay.
So that instant gratification is there, not delayed gratification, as I have been brought up. So this instant gratification is really very negative, I should say, at that age.
Okay.
So first you have to learn to save.
Okay.
Only then you can come to investing. And lending is, I would say that you don't have to, for at least for lifestyle expenses, you should not take any kind of loan.
Hmm.
So that is very important that I must highlight. You have to first start to save.
Hmm.
And once you get into that habit that you can save within limits, because you are not earning. A college student is not earning.
Yeah.
Some people may have part-time job,
mm-hmm.
but not many people can do that.
Hmm.
So whatever limited medium money sources you have,
mm-hmm.
you have to first save. That my goal is to save 500 every week. Don't order a pizza. Pizza cost you around 500-600 bucks. So you can save that amount.
Prajita, this, like when you're in your 20s and when you're college, it is, you know, very fascinating that time, and especially when your friends are, you know, spending money on the clothes and pizza.
So
and especially when you're on a tight budget. Okay,
right.
I remember my father used to transfer only 1,500 in a week, because he knew that I am somebody who's very careless when it comes to spending money.
Okay.
So only 1,500 was the set amount that I used to get.
Uh-huh.
And on the other side, my friends used to get 30,000 in a month.
Okay.
And from there, I was like, how will I invest? It's just 1,500. So how to change that mindset?
Stop comparing yourself. So one has to compare oneself with, you have to do it within your family budget. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because your friends who may be earning, whose parents must be earning much higher and they can afford. And they can afford giving out 30,000 rupees pocket money.
Yeah.
But in your case, if you're getting 1,500, then you should aim for saving at least 500,000 you spend, because we have to enjoy our lives also. But why it's important to start early and doing it within budget, because then you can experience that how compounding works, how investments work. You can experience right quite early in life.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, when life happens to you, when you get into job, when you get married, and when you really have to save for your financial goals, then you will understand risks involved.
Okay.
Because stock market, if you why I tell all youngsters to start with equity mutual funds is because they have time. And mutual funds, you can start with as low as 100 rupees.
Really?
Yes. You can invest in mutual funds on daily basis, on weekly basis, monthly basis, and with as low as 100 rupees.
Like, is it beneficial?
Yes,
what about
of
returns
course.
When you're investing just 100 rupees?
See, whoever, if somebody investing 100, 1,000, 10,000, whatever amount you are investing, your returns obviously will depend. return amount will be the same.
Okay.
Percentage amount will be the same. Mm-hmm. But obviously, it depends on your base
money. And how much base money.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But at least you will experience that XIRR. You will experience that annualized return that you are getting.
Okay.
So, that's how you can compare. That if only I had invested 10,000 in place of 1,000.
Yeah.
So, that could happen. You will realize that by the time you turn 30, you have lived that cycle. So, beginning your 30s to 40s, 50s, then you have learned that lesson and then sky is the limit for you.
We were talking about credit card, right? How people are just, you know, buying things, especially your luxury things on credit card and then doing this lending, borrowing. So what is your take on credit cards? Like, because in my opinion, I feel like credit card is a myth. Okay. It's just like, aapko wo loot rahe.
Exactly, this is exactly what it is. But there are some people who have time to get into it and understand different terms and conditions and then using it in their benefit because you get a lot of cash backs also.
Okay.
So credit cards are good for somebody who can afford to pay that amount by themselves. And then they do it, that is fine. Because one has to pay it back within the deadline.
Yeah.
So credit card, you are borrowing for a month. So you have to pay back every single penny by that deadline.
And some interest. Yes. What is so the concept of minimum amount?
Minimum amount due. So they will showcase the notification that if you pay this minimum amount due, that is fine.
I was the person who got scammed with the minimum amount thing.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm laughing.
Exactly. So we can't call it scam because banks, they don't explain it to you in clearer words, but it's there. It's minimum amount due. So whatever you are rolling on, you will have to pay interest on that amount. And credit card interest, 42% annual interest rate. So somebody can really get into debt trap if they get into credit card spending and that minimum amount due cycle.
I think it's so very important to have that financial literacy and awareness.
Exactly.
Which I think a few years back, it wasn't there. And especially post-COVID, now people are becoming more aware and more cautious. And I think they're taking risk also. So you said students can also start their investing with 100 rupees.
Okay. True.
And obviously the return will depend on how much your base money is. But can you highlight some of the safe investment options which are suitable for students?
Okay, so I'll start. This is my favorite topic. So I'll start with index. What is an index mutual fund?
Okay.
So in mutual fund universe, there are 40, 42 companies, even could be higher than 42 mutual fund companies.
Okay.
And every single mutual fund company has more than maybe 100, 150 mutual fund schemes, could be even higher. So many mutual fund schemes are available. So in which scheme to invest? It's very overwhelming for a college student to understand.
Yeah.
So I tell everybody to start with index funds.
Okay.
And among index funds, universe is also quite large. So among index funds, one should start with Nifty index fund.
Okay.
What is a Nifty index fund? So as you must be aware that Nifty index has 50 stocks in it. Sensex has 30, Nifty has 50 stocks in it. 50 stocks meaning top 50 companies comprise Nifty index.
Okay.
Now when you invest in Nifty index mutual fund scheme, then you are investing in those 50 companies. So if you put your 100 rupees in Nifty index fund, then your money will get distributed among all these 50 companies.
Okay.
And this index gets rebalanced. And if maybe one or two companies are not performing well, then after 6 months, those two or three companies will be out of the index and new companies will come in. So it's the best way to invest because all bad investments are going out, good investments are coming in. And if you believe in your country's growth, if you truly feel that yes, India can become a developed country and we can become a $5 trillion economy, then we have to trust in companies which are running India, right?
Yeah.
So those top 50 companies have to grow. So you have to invest in those companies. And then your money is safe. Those CEOs and those founders are working for you. So you are doing nothing. You are only saving money and investing in those companies. And there are people running those companies and you are a stakeholder in that company.
So they are covering. Exactly. Just do investment, enjoy a popcorn and see your money growing.
Yes, but you have to be patient. And stock market, as they say, are volatile. But in the long run, Nifty has always been going up. Started with 1,000. and now it's more than 20,000. So Nifty index keep growing. So same with your money. So this is the safest way to invest for a college student.
And other than Nifty, what are the other options?
Other than Nifty, then if somebody doesn't want to take stock market risk, then obviously you have options like FD is always there. And then you have different kind of debt mutual funds where your money will be safe. And then in mutual fund, I talked about index, but there is something called hybrid mutual funds. If somebody doesn't want to take that much equity risk, then hybrid mutual funds, what they do is they distribute your money in debt and equity both. So returns could be lesser than a pure play equity fund, but still you have opted for safe. So the lesser risk you take, less money. The more risk you take, more money. So that will go hand in hand. And gold is also a very common investment that people do, and our
gold
parents
bonds.
Also. In general, gold. If you speak to your parents, they'll either tell you to invest in real estate or gold. So I won't get
for
into
your marriage.
Real estate. Correct. I won't get into real estate, but for gold, I'll say that don't buy physical jewelry. Those things. If you if you want to wear it as a jewelry, if you really want to have that as a jewelry, then you buy, go and buy it. But if you're looking at it from investment angle, then don't buy physical gold. Then you should go for sovereign gold bonds. So sovereign gold bonds are the best way to invest in gold. Why? Because if you hold to it for at least 8 years, then after 8 years, whatever money you get, the returns that you have accumulated all through these 8 years, those are completely tax-free. So 2015 is when sovereign gold bonds, first series of sovereign gold bonds was launched, and those people received their money in November. That 8 years got completed, and whatever money they had earned, it was all tax free. So this is and apart from that, on every 6 months you get some interest also, whatever money you have invested. So 2.5% per annum return you get. So that money keeps coming to your bank account. So sovereign gold bond, this is the best way to invest.
Great insights. I wish college student jab main thi to mujhe koi aisa mila hota to guide and educate me. I would have definitely invested. I would like to know that I think now investment is not a problem. Everybody is being exposed to the investment process, but investment plans. But I think this process is very taxing. To even read about it, and it's very overwhelming sometimes because there are so many things. Flexi, index, you said, then large cap, small
cap. Terminologies.
Terminologies, and then bonds, and then you have your penny stocks. List goes on and on.
Future and options.
Exactly. One you added. So if I have to ask you, if you can list five best mutual funds or five best options, top options, and students can go for it, and if you can just break those terms for them, I think that would be really great for our listeners.
So mutual fund is one sort of investment, and within mutual fund there are different types that you should go for. So I'll list five investment products that one should look at, and with that one can create their diversified portfolio. So first, as I told you, index fund. So Nifty index fund is one. You have to buy it, and then sovereign gold bond we already discussed, and then you should also have some FDs. Why FDs? Because now we are talking about somebody, college students will not have that amount of money to invest in all five products. So for them, start with Nifty index, move to gold, and then FD, because maybe you want to go for a vacation or any sudden emergency at home. Your parents require some money. So stock market is volatile. If so during COVID suddenly stock market crashed? So whatever money had been invested, at least at that moment, for that precisely for 1 month, it was really bad. So we have to be prepared for those kind of situations. So stock market money you cannot rely on for emergencies. For that purpose, you need FD. And now, as I'm trying to formulate my answer, I feel that you don't really need four or five products. A good enough mutual fund, a Nifty fund, and if you go for a mid-cap index fund, that is how you can create...
What is mid-cap?
what is mid cap is, so in stock market, more than 4,000, 5,000 companies are listed, and those companies are divided into different, based on their market capitalization, based on how much their prices are against their number of shares. They have been divided among three, majorly three types. There are different types. Okay. One is large cap, and another is mid cap. And then you have small caps. Cap. Large caps are top 100 companies. And then mid caps. So government, SEBI has defined limits. Which companies will be large cap. So you have to look at it this way. That top companies are large cap. And those are safer investments. RIL, NSDFC Bank, Maruti, and all these companies are large cap. And then you have mid caps. Mid caps could be small. So for example, large cap companies are the best ones. Large companies are the biggest ones. RIL, SDFC Bank, or Hindustan Unilever. So these are the large cap companies. Then you have mid cap companies. And then you have small cap companies. Small cap companies are quite risky. Mid cap, safe bet.
So
because small cap companies are really small. They have small business operations. And not many brokerage houses, not many stock market analysts cover those companies. So you have less information available for those companies for you to really understand should you invest in that company or not. In case of large cap, quite full information, lot of information is available. In case of mid cap also, fairly good information is available. So what you can do is that you can create your mutual fund, diversified mutual fund portfolio by choosing index funds of those companies. So Nifty index fund will give you exposure in large cap stocks. And there are Nifty mid cap 150 index funds. Okay, so that will give you exposure in mid cap companies. Small cap companies, in the beginning of people in their 20s who don't have much money to invest, they should avoid in the beginning at least. Once you have surplus that your basic needs are fulfilled, now you can get into small caps because those are riskier investments. So yes, so these two you can start with. So I have seen in people in early 20s, so after COVID, lot of DMAT accounts got opened and people got fascinated with stock market trading. Investing, but trading. So one can make lot of money through stock market. But trading is really a different ball game. It's not meant for everyone. So what happens that when markets are on an upward trajectory, so you feel that, yes, I have that stock market knowledge, so I could earn. So it's not you, it's the trajectory, it's the momentum. And when momentum changes, then you realize that, no, what has happened? The same techniques that I used before made me money, but it's not working out anymore. So it happened with a lot of people. So FNOs, futures and options, as an early 20, you should avoid that. You should really start with mutual funds and experience that cycle at least for 3-4 years, that long-term feel you must gain, and then get into it. And if you're really passionate about learning FNOs, then spend that time. And FNOs, only those people can really master at it who can put their time into it, who can really track during the day. Otherwise, it's good to stay away from, focus on you. People in their 20s, they should focus more on earning. How to get more salary and having more professional skills so that your salary grows, so that you have more money to deploy in investments, rather than focusing on investment, how to gain more percentage on something and cryptos and all those things. Better to focus on your professional skills. By little bit, whatever money you have, with that you can experience different things to learn. So that when you have large amount of money, then with conviction you can deploy that. So that's my advice.
I think in our studio, the only person who's nodding her head is our producer, because she's also in her early 20s. And I think she's understanding the value and the importance of investing at the early age. So I think our episode is already done, because she's nodding her head. So we got the validation.
So it must be, so this session, you producing it for her, it must be quite productive.
And she is nodding her head again, so which is productive enough. We are glad. Okay, so we spoke about so many investment products. And then we spoke about age and why is it important. Okay, now my next question to you is that what kind of tools? There are so many tools in the market, so many apps in the market. And internet is bombarded with so many information. ठीक है, how to select, how to trust, okay, and especially students जिनका already tight budget है.
Mm-hmm.
Should they opt for financial advisor or should they read more or should they trust, should they go to the parents and ask, ki, Papa, invest my money? How to even go to this process? How to start this process?
So reliable sources. So now a lot of Instagram channels, YouTube videos are available. And
the scam
some
is also
good,
happening. Okay.
Some are good. I won't say that everybody is bad, but this entire trend of influencers, it's risky. So start with reading authentic sources. By authentic sources, I mean traditional media.
Okay.
You have to read newspaper.
Okay.
I have been working with newspaper for a long time. My career has been in this profession. Why? Because for me, when I have to write something, I cannot write just anything.
Yeah.
There are checks and balances. My editors will read it. And we have to maintain our credibility.
Okay.
So whatever we write, it's purely authentic. We are not promoting anything.
Okay.
So traditional media is the best source to learn.
Okay.
So if you want to learn personal finance, then our Mint Money page and Why Not Mint
and
Money
podcast
the best way to start. And it's on serious note, it's this is what it is. You have to read newspaper, only then you will understand. And while if you come across any difficult terminology while reading the paper, then you can Google that and you can understand more about it. And then there are books available.
Okay.
So you have to go for traditional boring sources.
Any recommendations?
For
recommendations?
Books?
Yes.
For books, so Neil Burati, my deputy editor at Mint, and I, along with Aditya Kondavar, we have co-authored a book, The Big Bull of Dalal Street.
Okay.
It's on Rakesh Jhunjhunwala.
Okay.
So he's no more, which is why we wrote a book, because when he used to appear on TV channels, then a lot of people would watch him, and great fan following he had, and now he is no more. So which is why we wrote this book, and precisely meant for college students. It's very simple language and just about 200-250 pages. Anyone can read it easily, and then they will understand how Rakesh Jhunjhunwala managed his own money.
Okay.
And we have covered different parts, what to do, what to learn from him, what not to learn from him.
Okay.
It's not that if somebody is great that we can copy his everything. So one needs to be selective. So this is one book that we can read. And then Let's Talk Money by Monica Hallan. She was earlier consulting editor with Mint.
Okay.
So she has written two books. So those books are really great. And book reading, so this is how you can start. There are other books also. A lot of books are there on stock market.
Okay.
Not many on personal finance. And what's the difference? Stock market is one way to grow your money.
Okay.
Personal finance is everything.
Okay.
Here comes, you have to learn about insurance. You have to learn about mutual funds.
Yeah.
Lot of things are involved.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And everybody's life is different. You have to invest and save going by your own financial goals.
Yeah.
So these personal finance books make you capable of taking your own decisions as per your goals.
Mm-hmm.
So these are a couple of books that one must read.
And before we conclude this episode, any final tips or tricks you would like to give the students out there? What to avoid and what to not do when they're starting the investing journey?
Okay. So right after college students, they start their job. So when they have to do their tax planning, then they get into insurance. People pitch them insurance, because the premium that you pay in insurance policies, you get Section 80C benefit.
Yeah.
But what happens, a lot of people buy investment-linked insurance policies. And investment-linked insurance policies neither give you good insurance, the life coverage, nor returns.
Okay.
It's this could be 3-4%, 5% at best, 6%, not more than that.
Okay.
So stay away from investment linked insurance policies.
Okay.
And in 80C you have ELSS also. It's a kind of mutual fund.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So instead of for that 80C benefit, instead of going for savings thing insurance plan, you should choose ELSS.
ELSS is tax saver.
Equity linked savings plan.
Okay.
So it's a mutual fund.
Okay.
So instead of going for, if tax is the, your reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So go for ELSS and not investmenting policies. Stay away from these policies. Better to invest in mutual funds than these kind of insurance policies.
Okay.
And for life cover, if you have started earning and your family is dependent on you, then you have to buy a term insurance policy. So just somehow this term insurance policy, this word, stick it in your mind. Whoever is coming to you to sell insurance, you have to tell that person, I want to buy term insurance. So that's very important. This is what not to do and what to do. I've covered both points. And second, start as early as possible. Right from today itself, start your SIPs. Whatever little money you have, start your SIPs in Nifty Index Fund.
Okay. Great. And I think there's a lot to learn, especially from you. And obviously, this landscape is too big and too diverse, and there's too much, there's so much to learn about it. But I'm really excited that I got to know so many mistakes that I've done. And I'm still doing those mistakes.
Yeah,
I think after
never too late to correct those mistakes.
After this episode, I'm going to show you my portfolio and please correct all the mistakes that I've been doing. But thank you so much, Aprajita, for doing
it's
this episode.
Being here. I would love to do more such episodes.
Yes, really, and I would love to know more about this investment and the finance, personal finance things. And thank you so much once again.
Pleasure, Radhika. Feel free to ask your queries on this topic. I'm available on X. My X handle, Apri_Sharma. You can find me on LinkedIn as well with my full name, which is Aprajita Sharma. For more such podcasts, keep visiting stsmartcast.com. Bye-bye.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.